This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Bennett's Kid Show, 105.3 The Fan, and you've got a chance to win $1,000 just by listening to our show. We're going to give you a chance every hour, and you never know at what point during the hour you're going to have that chance to text in the word of the hour, and it's going to be a little bit later. It's going to be a little bit later.
Can we do it now?
Right now, what we'd like to do is turn our attention to the Week 6 NFL Power Rankings. We like to do this every Wednesday. And the reason I like to use ESPN is because they say they've got a group of more than 80 writers, editors, and TV personalities that help them compile their power rankings. So they have a large sample size. I don't trust anything with small sample sizes. It's basically a waste of time.
You've always said that.
It's a fool's game, Ben.
Yep. You guys...
Which website are you using for this?
I'm not telling you.
Because I'm not looking at any power rankings.
Seems like you wanted to know to check what I was reading.
Yes.
How about... I was going to use an alternate one.
Somebody's trying to cheat to become the NFL guy again.
Yeah.
I
use deflatedballs.com.
Okay.
I use ESPNHub.com.
I just said, Kevin, I use ESPN because they've got 80 writers, editors, and TV personalities.
So they kind of overdo it a little bit.
How many are they using?
They don't overdo it, sir. The more people in the sample size, the more accurate it would have to be. And guys, do you anticipate anything would change at number one in the power rankings?
No, because no.
Yeah. It was the Chiefs lost.
It was the New England Patriots, and it still is the New England Patriots. Now, by the way, the little caveat each week, they always have one other little nugget to talk about, and this week it's every team's top fantasy football surprise. So they've got Sony Michel as the big fantasy surprise for the Patriots.
As a guy who has him on my 105.3 The Fan fantasy team.
Oh!
I can tell you that he's the most inconsistent guy I've ever had in my hit career running fantasy football, and you can hear more about that on the Fantasy Football Funcast with me and Shippy.
Sure can.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Hey, the thing about the Patriots is exactly that, though, right? Brady's going to get his. When Gronk was around, he'd get his. Other than that, it'll change week to week. One guy could run for 100 yards and not even get the ball back for like three or four more weeks.
When I did a fantasy football fun cast, Ben, I recommended not having a bunch of Patriots on your team for that very reason.
The same way at running back and also at wide receiver, Edelman's the one consistent guy that they have there.
Nope.
I don't think they really fully expect Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett to get them through a big playoff run, and that's why I think they will trade for Stephon Diggs in the next couple weeks.
I'd like to predict that they won't because Minnesota will be back in the mix. So stuck on that, Kevin.
Who do you guys think is number two?
It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers, Ben.
It's going to be the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, KT dunks on Skin.
It's going to be the Saints.
The Saints are number two. Their surprise fantasy player is tight end Jared Cook.
Yep.
Mine is too. It surprised that he's been bad? They just now started throwing to him. Like, Drew Brees got hurt, and then they're like, you know what? Let's utilize Cook. Is that the surprise, that he's bad? That's amazing.
Ben. Yeah.
I had high hopes for him this year.
Yeah.
He was in my clicks to pick.
I'm going to say that number three is not San Francisco. I'm going to say it's Seattle.
All right. That's your guess for number three?
No, I'm going to say it's San Francisco.
Okay. Who do you think number three is?
Seattle.
All right, and you say San Francisco? Both of you are
Kansas City.
It is the Kansas City Chiefs of Kansas City.
You don't get credit for missing it first.
They dropped down from number two to number three, and they say their big fantasy surprise this year has been Tyreek Hill.
Because he's been hurt.
Wait, I don't understand the surprise part.
I don't either. They say while the Chiefs have developed receiving threats in his absence, don't mistake who their number one guy is. It's Hill.
They might have too many people.
Pretty good insight from all 80 of those people.
I think the real surprise here is that bit of having a fantasy surprise really flamed out in week five. Okay, so let's go on record. Let's go around the horn. Who's going to be higher, Seattle or San Francisco? Because that's your next two teams. Shippy?
I'm going to go with Seattle.
KT?
Seattle.
Ben, it's going to be San Francisco, and I'm guaranteeing you those are the two next teams.
You are wrong.
Oh, crap.
The number four team, according to ESPN's power rankings, is the Green Bay Packers of Green Bay.
Okay.
Yep. They moved up from number 6 to number 4. Their surprise fantasy stud.
Devontae Adams,
number one wide receiver. Aaron Jones.
Okay. Okay, look at a notorious Packers sandbagger, Kevin Turner. The look on his face when you said the Packers are number 4. I thought he threw up yesterday's lunch in his mouth. He was not buying that hype one bit. Not one single bit.
They have the Lions on Monday night. I mean, are you guys taking the Lions very seriously yet?
You need to.
Because I just don't know. I mean, the Packers really haven't. I mean, they beat the Bears. They haven't played any. They've played kind of good teams.
Wow, shots fired.
It's just hard to know. It's still early and hard to know.
If you're not going to take the Lions seriously, then I don't think you take the 49ers seriously. 49ers haven't played anybody.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Packers are number 4. Now, you are right about the Seahawks and 49ers. Question is, can you get the order right?
I say San Fran, then Seattle, although it should be Seattle, then San Fran. See what I did there? It's kind of a,
I think
so you answered both
Seattle.
Ways.
Yeah, hedged your bet.
Yeah. Who are you saying?
Seattle, number 5.
San Fran, number 5.
Victory goes to Kevin Turner.
God, dog it.
The Seattle Seahawks come in at number 5. They bump up from 7, and San Francisco bumps up from 8 to 6. San Francisco... the only undefeated team in the NFC, right?
Yes. Do you realize how frustrating this is? I was lobbying for Seattle from pick 3 all last week, and now they're doing it. This is stupid. This whole thing is stupid, especially the fantasy surprise.
Yeah, the fantasy surprise for the Seahawks has been a good one.
Will Dissly?
Will Dissly.
Yes!
Out of nowhere.
Can I read his tweet from today?
Yes. Yeah. This is incredible, dude.
Will Dissly is a guy who Broadus liked coming out, by the way, and I was like, he sucks. He'll never make it. And then Broadus nailed it. So Will Dissly had this great tweet this morning. At 9 o'clock. No, wait, late last night. If you think about it, unicorns make way more sense than giraffes. A horse with a horn versus a long-necked horse with cheetah spots. TF? Question mark.
He's right. Dude, I've never once thought about this, but this is so right. If you're just looking at just animals in the world, the giraffe makes no sense.
It really does.
And the unicorn is a mythical creature that makes all the sense. It's just a horse with a horn. That's not that crazy. Whoa. From an evolutionary standpoint.
While the hate for the giraffe, it's kind of a shout out to the old dinosaurs that had the super long necks and could eat the vegetation off tall trees.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, those are the long necks.
But it's not a lizard. And the whole fact that it's got cheetah spots, like, what is happening with this crazy, weird, skinny horse?
Did they drug test him after this tweet?
He should have been promoted to something.
Guys, the surprise fantasy player for the 49ers is Raheem Mostert.
Yep.
By the way, I call him Mustard.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw doing play-by-play. He was like, Raheem Mustard? What is that?
So Mustard, they give it to Breida. Okay, so Brad, you call him Brad if you want. Mm-hmm. And then Juice, their fullback, is hurt for 4 to 6 weeks. Juice which?
Dude was, you guys will know this, was the Adam Sandler character in The Waterboy based on Bradshaw?
No, he was a hard-hitting middle linebacker, sir.
Okay.
Which brings us to number 7. Who do you guys think the number 7 team is in the ESPN Power Rankings?
I think it's the Houston Texans.
No.
I might be forcing it there.
Yeah, you're forcing it, dog. It's going to be the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Skinwade back on the board. The Rams, now they drop from 4 to 7. They're
Kevin,
3-2.
Kevin, go fetch me a coffee if you don't mind.
And you say Cooper Kupp has been their surprise fantasy star.
What is the surprise?
Cooper Kupp's great.
Yeah.
But what is the surprise here?
That he leads the team. He's got better stats than Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods.
His usage rate is incredible compared to the other guys. Like, he plays and gets more targets than the other two guys.
But isn't he their best receiver?
I think they were kind of seen as one big trio.
Okay. He's got 41 catches, 505 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He's leading the team in everything.
Guys, my Panther fantasy surprise is McCaffrey.
Yep. All right.
Mine's Cam Newton.
Who do you guys have at number 8?
It's too early to get the Vikings back in the mix, isn't it?
Is it?
This is where you find out there ain't that many great teams in the league. This is how you know they're not. No one's running away with it.
You probably need to go ahead and force an AFC team in there, and if you were, it would be Houston. But I actually think they're going to shock the world, and I think they're going to put Carolina in there.
I think they're going to put the Colts in there because of their big win over the number 2 team in
the
power rankings, the
Chiefs.
Pretty
good, Kevin.
Both of you are wrong.
Shippy, how are you?
Number eight, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
told
yeah.
you guys.
It dropped from 5 to 8. It says their surprise fantasy player is, you want to guess?
Zmarewicz.
No, there's no. Oh, I know it. I mean, we've seen it. The surprise is Amari Cooper. Are you kidding me?
No.
200 plus yards?
They're
going to
say Dak.
No.
They're going to say Zeke.
No.
Leighton Vander Esch.
No.
Blake Jarwin.
No.
Witten.
No.
Jeff Swaim.
No.
Gallup?
Special teams.
Michael Gallup.
Yes.
Michael Gallup.
Here's a surprise. He hasn't been posting stats the last 3 weeks because of a meniscus.
Seems to be a common theme here.
Which brings us to number nine. Who do you think they have at number nine?
Colts.
You could. No, I think the Texans will be higher than the Colts.
No. No.
Vikings.
No.
What other football teams are there?
The Philadelphia Eagles of Philadelphia. Surprise fantasy player, Zach Ertz.
The Eagles are just so forgettable.
I seriously forgot they're in the league.
All right. This shocks me. The number 10 team in the ESPN NFL Power Rankings, this one is a real surprise.
The Chicago Bears.
The Jets.
Nope. No.
The Texans and the Colts.
No.
Are they going to sneak the Jaguars in there?
No.
Tampa.
No.
Dubbers.
No.
What are some of the sports?
Vikings?
Baltimore.
No. No.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Chargers?
Oakland!
No.
Colts?
No.
Texans?
No.
Titans?
No.
Sooners?
No.
Browns?
No.
Ravens?
Bama. No.
Dude, we've named every NFL team.
No,
man.
You haven't.
Carolina. You haven't.
Buffalo Bills.
Yes! Yes! Buffalo Bills. Cole Beasley and the Buffalo Bills.
It's not Cole Beasley and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's what
Bills.
That team
is
called.
Is he their mascot?
By the way, their surprise fantasy player is 47-year-old running back Frank Gore.
yes, dude. He's incredible.
Did Derek Holland take him first in the fantasy draft?
He's averaging 5.4 yards per carry.
He's a monster.
Is he really?
Yes.
He is a monster. Quick update on the Baker Mayfield controversy.
Oh, yes.
That's Ben's beat, sir.
Would you like this, Ben?
I mean, I was busy with the power ranking, so you'd like to scoop me and take away my award. Skin, what's the award?
Just tweet a rat emoji.
Is he trying to get your Edward R. Murrow award?
Can you just cross out my name and put KT on that award?
Done.
Baker says, it's according to Field Yates, I know what I did, but that's the one time the camera recording me has gone in my favor.
Oh.
He's making fun of the time he got body slammed by the cop.
I like him more
he
now.
He also said, asked about Nick Bosa. All right? I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Asked about Nick Bosa. He said, just give me a second.
You give yourself a second.
You have to scroll on Twitter and find it, but I had it right there.
Hey, I've got a text here on the Autoflix Leasing Fan Text. With regards to the giraffe and the unicorn, didn't you guys graduate high school?
Nick, this guy, here's what he said about Nick Bosa's flag plant celebration. Good for him. He had it premeditated. He's been thinking about that, obviously, for 2 years now. That's a long time to think about that loss.
God, that is the most Baker comeback ever.
pretty good.
By the way, didn't he go 8-for-22 Monday night?
He did.
Yeah. Okay. And he's still coming out swinging. No self-awareness. By the way, in answer to whether or not we graduated from high school, actually been inducted into our high school hall of fame this weekend, guys.
See everybody there this weekend.
It's like, it's so impossible to get us to things.
Yeah.
Yet we're going to go to everything for this. We're going to like something Friday, two things on Saturday. We're even changing clothes in the middle of this thing.
We created some stuff on Sunday they weren't going to have. Really exciting to be a part of this. I'm real interested in what we're doing next because I forgot to write it on the run sheet.
Coming up next on the Ben and Skin Show, illegal horse racing and a dog shoots his owner in the back. Animals are turning on us. We'll get into all that and do it with a sports lens next on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, we still haven't given away the chance to win $1,000 this hour. It could happen anytime in the next 40 minutes, so you got to be listening. Do not miss that. We'll give out the word. You'll text it in. We'll see what the G-Bag Nation is doing here in about 20 minutes. But if you missed it earlier today, Mickey Spagnuolo told us that even though Tyron Smith didn't practice, there's still a lot of optimism in the building that he will play this weekend. We'll see. Time will tell. He's more likely to play than Lyle Collins. Mickey's thought was that Tyron has a good chance to play. Lyle does not have a good chance at all to play. But that would be a huge coup. When you look at what the possibilities are to get at least one of those guys back, especially if it's Tyron.
Yeah. And, dude, we saw how important he is. Man, Cam Fleming is terrible. I mean, he's just terrible.
He's a backup tackle in the league for a reason.
He needs a lot of help. He needs a lot of help. And the kid, the undrafted free agent, what was his name?
Brandon Knight.
Brandon Knight. He's not even on the depth chart for the website that I was looking at. Brandon Knight is significantly better than Cam Fleming, or at least he was in one game. And, dude, if Cam Fleming is going to be in the game, it needs to be Chaz Green-level warning panic. It needs to be somebody chipping on every play.
Mm-hmm. They were getting Alex Redmond some work in today as well, so we'll see what happens. I guess my question for you guys is, how much less confident are you if both Tyrann Lyle don't play?
Well, I mean, I think that the Cowboys still have a good chance of winning that game, but I suddenly think it's a competitive game and you're on the road and there's reasons to have concern.
If they're both out, I wouldn't feel good about the Cowboys covering. I still think the Cowboys win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's a good way to look at it. Okay, and I want to hit this real quickly before we get into this illegal horse betting thing. We played it earlier, but this is Richard Sherman on the Pat McAfee show on The Zone. That's all I'm going to say because I'm not even sure what it is, but there's a studio audience. Richard Sherman was going into the whole thing with him and Baker Mayfield, and at the very end, he actually apologized. Here's the apology if you haven't heard it.
Oh, it's going to be a bit of both. You know, it's definitely my bad. You know, I never want anybody to have to deal with some shit that, I mean, some stuff that they didn't that they didn't do, you know? And so, you know, the questions that he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about some stuff that happened in a game that's already been done, you know, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media to actually get a hold of him and talk to him in person. I mean, on the phone. But yeah, because that sucks. But first off, that was a great name y'all came up with, like Dapgate.
Good God!
I was crying laughing. But yeah, he definitely deserves
37 people in that studio.
And what?
And go ahead, distracted them all by just having some quip about what the name of the thing was. Look, he is so freaking guilty here. He said, man, I definitely hate that somebody has to deal with stuff that they didn't do. What? You made this up. The video surfaced of him shaking your hand, and everyone's like, wait, what in the hell, Richard Sherman? You convinced us that this guy pulled a douchebag maneuver and refused to shake your hand? What a jerk. Oh, wait, he did? Oh, you made all that up? You went into that with preconceived notions about what Baker Mayfield was like, and you spun a web of lies around a guy, and you torched him publicly, and it was all fake. Yes, you owe him an apology.
I'm actually been a little more offended by thinking that Dapgate was clever, as there has not been one thing that's happened publicly in the last 10 years where someone didn't slap gate at the back end of it. Not that clever. Done every day on a daily basis. Now let's explore the world of animals, shall we, KT? Yeah. And the world of sports and the world of animals are colliding here.
And it's a local story. I saw this in the Dallas Morning News. 10 people were arrested Sunday at an illegal horse racing track in Springtown. You guys know where Springtown is?
I don't. Is that near Houston?
No, Springtown is about an hour away from here. Oh. We definitely have listeners in Springtown.
Shout out Springtown.
A little west of Fort Worth.
Oh, wow.
Have you
ever heard of it, Benny?
Never heard of that.
I haven't either.
When I'm driving here from Olney, mm-hmm. or driving to Olney, I pass through Springtown every time.
Well, shout out to our listeners in Springtown. We love you.
Which is the bigger town, Olney or Springtown?
Springtown is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Springtown's a little bigger, and they got, I mean, they're considered a part of the Metroplex. They're kind of by, you know, that Azle, Weatherford area.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I would kind of describe it. So more than 1,000 people attended the event on Sunday at the racetrack, okay?
1,000 people?
But dozens of horses raced illegally. Most of the horses and their jockeys were racing twice in the same weekend, which is in violation of the Texas Racing Act. So they had a bust. They'd been investigating this. I guess they'd heard rumors they'd been doing some racing at this track. They had a big bust, and authorities seized shocking devices to shock the horses, drug paraphernalia, large syringes, And they were tested for illegal performance-enhancing substances.
It's hard to shock a horse based on some of the stuff I've seen.
They're usually the ones doing the shocking.
They usually shock everybody else.
It's like, oh, my God!
I said only one horse of the dozens there had the proper paperwork.
Okay, because
how
don't,
does he
hold
carry
on,
it?
They
he's
don't
got a
have,
hoof.
It's hard to keep up with paperwork.
They don't horse. You know, it's rare to see a horse wearing a pair of pants. You know, being able to get in and out with that wallet, that's hard to do.
You guys aren't country folk like I am. Horses have satchels, sir.
Okay, but how do they sign the paperwork?
They put their hoof print on it. They paw at it, right? They hoof at it.
Okay. All right, so when I saw this story, I thought, illegal horse racing? Really?
Yeah.
Because it's not like an underground, you know, cockfighting ring or whatever. It's not like an underground, you know, it's not like dog fighting or something like that. It's it takes up so much space. You know how much space you have to get horses? And they even showed they had like the makeshift gate that they come out of.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you can't hide this somewhere.
No. Have you guys ever been to an illegal monkey wrestling ring?
Well, this is apparently
awesome,
apparently it's a legal track. It's just these horses were illegal.
Right. Horses didn't have their papers. They were clearly doping.
This says her name is Yesenia Garza. She's 41 of Arlington. She was identified as the leader of the racing operation.
Okay.
Booked into jail, one count of violating the Racing Act, the Texas Racing Act.
Mm-hmm.
And released after posting $30,000 bail.
Is that illegal horse money? Shippy, see if you can get her on.
And see if you guys think any of these names are funny, okay? Also arrested and accused of violating the Racing Act. There's going to be one name that really stands out.
Okay.
You're going to go, okay? Jessica Davila, she's 40 of Fort Worth.
Blanca, do you have picks over there?
I don't. Blanca Gonzalez, she's 50 of Springtown.
All females?
No, Edgar Mendoza got in the mix. He's 35 of Fort Worth.
There you go, Edgar.
Juan Renteria, 34 of Dallas.
Are some of these guys prospects?
Nora Rodriguez, 32 of Arlington.
Is that hyphenated?
Hold on, double Rodriguez?
That's the one.
Why? Is it spelled differently?
Here's what happened.
There's a hyphen.
Hyphen, but why is it double?
Now, here's what happened. Mr. Rodriguez married Mrs. Rodriguez, and Mrs. Rodriguez didn't want to lose the family name, so she kept it.
That's not,
double hyphenated.
If it's spelled differently, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
If not, why would it be twice?
It's very weird. It's very weird. I don't even know how you would make it work. And I guess Noruf, N-O-R-U-F is the first name, could be a female.
You say North weird.
So if Noruf is a female, then she could have been married. Like Rodriguez could be her maiden name, and she was married to another Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She wanted to keep the family name.
That's what he just said.
No, but I'm saying like, how do you...
You said what I said just differently?
Yeah.
I love her nickname and...
I'm pulling up the next story.
I like her nickname and Rod Rod.
Are we on the air?
No, not anymore.
And Rod Rod.
Okay, but still, this seems like a bizarre thing to have like an underground ring for. Right?
Well,
takes up so much space and... And why is it illegal? Because they're not following taking care of the animals the way they are.
You don't want to overuse those horses.
You can't. Okay, and what you're doing is you're creating more races, and by creating more races, you're collecting more money. There's more.
Huh.
Right?
Are these outlaw horses?
Well, no. I mean,
not enough good horses for all the races they want to run.
Yeah, and
so
these
they're
are
doubling down.
And
on
these
the horses
aren't good enough to get in the Lone Star Park, so we're doing it on our own out here.
Okay. But they're just like standing on the outside looking in.
Yeah. They're not let in.
Just grazing around on the outskirts of the...
They're in the back. But that's... I also... Okay, so there was a show on HBO a few years ago. It was called... I think it was called Luck. And it was about the corrupt horse racing. I think it was older actors. Like, it was a real old guy.
Yeah, I remember this.
And it was
kind of... It looked real unwatchable.
It was real boring. Yeah, so I quit.
Yeah.
But I am fascinated by that world because there was a story of a track... God, I'm going to say Kentucky because that's probably where it was.
Good guess.
But it's this horse race. No, it's actually in California where they've had like 28 horses die this year.
Yes.
And they're like still doing races. And then a horse dies during the race. It's like, is the track bad? Do you have something you're doing to the horses? That's what they were talking about here is more. They're more concerned about this syringes and the drug paraphernalia.
Right.
So, getting these horses all jacked up on steroids so they can run faster, and then they have health effects afterwards.
Problem is, for a lot of these horses, there's gateway drugs. A lot of them start smoking weed, and then they move on to those giant suppositories and some of the steroid shots.
Drug slang for heroin used to be horse.
Really?
That was a drug slang for heroin back in the 70s.
I did not know that.
No.
Also in Oklahoma, a woman was shot by her dog.
What?
You don't just do that. You got to get into
it. Explain.
Now, is this a man's best friend situation? Is Is this a good thing? I mean, was there a serious injury? I don't know the story.
Oh, you're saying the dog got the husband's back.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know the story, right?
It's a very strange story in general, but when even the details would make you go, well, that's how you even got that weird headline. Her name was Tina. And it says an older gentleman. It doesn't say husband. It doesn't say older brother, friend. It says older gentleman. And what she says serves as an aide. We're waiting for a train to pass in Enid, Oklahoma. The dog, they're in their car. The dog jumps out of the vehicle's back seat.
And just starts shooting without even knowing what's going on?
I'm going to take you all out!
Well, he jumped from the back seat up onto the console, the glove box, I guess what you call it, right?
Yeah.
The glove box is in the right corner. What's the thing on the, I guess it's the console. Yeah.
Your middle console.
Yeah, the middle console. Yeah. And it caused the gun to discharge. Gross. And the bullet lodged into her left thigh. So I guess she was in the passenger seat.
Okay.
Dog jumps up, hits the gun, shoots her right in the left thigh right there.
And then it barks out OS and runs off in a panic?
Yeah.
Cops got there to investigate.
Oh, they didn't cuff that sweet dog, did they?
They said that they think cloth from the seat covers got wedged into the firearm's trigger well.
Okay.
Now, that's where you go into gun knowledge that I don't really have. But if the gun was out and there was cloth in there that could cause it to discharge.
How old was this car to have loose cloth seating like that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Probably an old car. Because you notice that old people usually don't get new cars.
Did the dog?
The aide was a 79-year-old man.
Did the dog have a license to carry a firearm?
I don't think so. And not in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what are the rules in Oklahoma. I don't know.
So, you got to know is did the guy go, good boy, or is he good boy, or did he go, oh, gosh, I had a gun that was so loaded and ready to go that all you had to do is nudge the center console and people were going to start getting shot.
Happy accident.
The dog was so sick of getting just poor, just crappy dry dog food. He's like, I'm going to find my chance.
He's like, Bad dog. We've worked on this for months. The thigh shot. Bad dog. No treat.
She's bleeding pretty bad, her aide said. A gun went off and got her in the leg. It just went off. We got a dog in here and it shot the gun. And then you can hear the 911 callers go, the dog shot her?
Okay, hold on. See, clearly there was gunplay and now they're blaming it on the dog. I do this with farts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Blame it on the dog.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you're saying you shoot farts.
No, this guy clearly shot her in the leg and then was like, the dog did it.
Yep.
And they're not going to bring in a CSI team to dust the dog for prints and see
Has
this dog fired a gun? Yep. And I guarantee you what they did was the guy cleaned off the gun and then put it by the dog's paw, set it down so when the police got there,
he rubbed some dirt sample from the backyard on the handle.
See, the dog goes out there to take a poop. It probably matches the soil.
It said that the 911 call took a more dramatic tone as she is heard in the background wailing, I don't feel good.
Oh, no.
And that dog is whimpering and its tail's between its legs.
I don't think if I got shot, I would be yelling, I don't feel good. Like I'm a third grader with a stomach ache.
She's in the background going, my husband did this. Hey, guys, this is a serious story.
Yeah. Hey, guys, would you please stop joking around?
Yeah, man.
So what was the final result here? Was she okay?
Well, the dispatcher is asking the 80-year-old man, if he had a clean cloth to stop the blood, and he shouted on the phone, I'm trying to find something to wrap around her leg. And that's how the story ended.
Kind
of an abrupt ending.
There's a lot of holes in that story.
She's still alive.
Oh, good. Let's get her on the show. Good.
The dog, however.
Still working on the other girl.
Also doing well.
The dog?
All right.
All right, there you go. It's the Ben and Skin Show.
It's the latest update I have. Journalism's been weird these days. You never know what to believe.
What? Coming up next.
Fake news media is always out to...
The G-Bag Nation's going to join
the details.
It's hard to get momentum.
I was doing a bit, though. I wasn't cutting you off because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing a purposeful bit. See you next year.
Let's do a spot, Ben.